A 25-year-old Juneau woman is being held without bail at Lemon Creek Correctional Center for stabbing a man. Ashley Stansell was arrested yesterday and charged with a single count of second-degree domestic violence, a Class B felony. Juneau police say they received a report of a man with a stab wound at Bartlett Regional Hospital about 6 o'clock yesterday morning. A 28-year-old man had a wound to his abdomen. He told police he was stabbed during an argument with Stansell at an apartment complex on Cinema Drive. The victim was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Later, after executing a search warrant, officers located and seized the knife. They arrested Stansell about 4 hours after that. An accident on Egan Drive inbound tied up traffic yesterday evening near Norway Point. The driver of a 2004 Chevy van lost control. The vehicle slammed into the guardrail and then flipped over onto its side. The driver, an unidentified 45-year-old woman, was cited for speeding. There were some minor injuries reported, but it is unclear if there were any passengers in the vehicle. We'll have more details on that story as they become available. An incumbent will hold on to an important Senate seat in the Anchorage area. The recount for Senate District J shows Democratic Senator Hollis French 59 votes ahead of Republican challenger Bob Bell. French picked up 8 votes in the recount, garnering 7,605 votes to Bell's 7,546 votes. Meanwhile, the recount in the House District 34 race is scheduled for Monday. Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins is 34 votes ahead of Haines Republican Representative Bill Thomas. The fiscal cliff, the much-reported combination of tax increases and government spending cuts, is less than 5 weeks away. But as APRN's Peter Granitz reports, most lawmakers are talking about sweeping tax reform, something unlikely to happen before the end of the year.
Most people agree on the need to overhaul the U.S. tax code, including U.S. Representative Don Young.
You tell me anybody's happy with the way the tax system is established today, and I'll show you an idiot.
Congressman Young was in D.C. the last time Congress reformed the tax code. That 1986 measure established many of the current income and corporate rates we have today, and it affirmed many of the deductions businesses and people enjoy. Many of them, from the deduction for home mortgage interest to a 2% payroll tax cut, are on the chopping block. Closing loopholes and capping the amount of deductions a person can claim is an option publicly floated by Republicans in Washington. Most Republicans still oppose increasing personal tax rates, but some have been offering a conciliatory tone since the election.
Let's look at new revenue, and I'm not limiting it to just closing off loopholes at a certain level.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski is one of a growing number of Republicans who are willing to offer increased tax rates in negotiations. She insists that higher rates must come with significant reforms to Medicare and Medicaid.
It may be that at the end of the day, what we're looking at is an increase on tax rates at the very, very, very highest level. Now, the president seems to be stuck on those that make over $250,000. I'm very concerned that traps too many of those small businesses who would then see a tax rate increase.
Senator Murkowski says it's too early to speculate on what a final package would look like, whether the rates would increase on people making $250,000 or $500,000 or even $1 million per year. She says that Republican senators are briefed regularly by their leaders, those closest to the negotiations with the White House. But by and large, most senators are not crafting the reform package. Senator Mark Begich has his own plan, one that would reduce the amount of personal tax brackets from 6 to 3 and create a flat 24% corporate rate.
Well, if you lower the rates, you got to pay for that drop. And the way you pay for that is clean up the system. There is just a shopping list of these type of loopholes. But at the end of the day, if you can flatten the rate so our corporate structure is more competitive worldwide, then that's a plus.
He says he expects a lobbying bonanza when the true reform begins in earnest.
I know what's going to happen as soon as we move that forward, too. You're going to hear complaints from every special interest group saying, well, why did you reduce mine? Well, in order to get to their lower rate that they all clamor for, You have to do that.
Senator Begich says his plan is gaining Republican support, though it hasn't had a committee vote or received a cost analysis from the Congressional Budget Office. He says that he's talked with Majority Leader Harry Reid about incorporating certain elements of the plan into a reform package. All the talk of tax reform in Congress may be for naught if President Barack Obama and Speaker John Boehner cannot reach a compromise on the fiscal cliff. While those two meet in private, Congress is left trying to work in a bipartisan way. Senator Murkowski says the spirit of compromise since the election has not lasted as long as many would have liked.
We may decide that it's not going to be by closing off the loopholes, or it will absolutely not be with increased rates. But what seems to me to be happening around here more often than not is people saying, well, everything is on the table, and then they take off two of the four items before we've even started the conversation.
And by some accounts, that's already happening between the president and speaker. We won't know if that happens in Congress until there's actually a tax reform bill. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
About 1,600 Alaska Natives are gathered in Anchorage for sessions on how to provide governmental services to their tribal citizens. KMBA's Jacqueline Estes has more on the story.
A record number of representatives of Alaska's 231 federally recognized tribes are attending the Bureau of Indian Affairs Tribal Service Providers Conference in Anchorage this week. They're attending sessions on everything from fraud prevention, housing grants, and fuel sales to child welfare. Kristen Olzinger-Kate is acting director for the BIA Alaska region. She says grants under Public Law 638 or the Indian Self-Determination and Education Act are a big part of the BIA's mission in Alaska.
Among all the regions of BIA across the country, Alaska region has the most number of tribes that are in a 638 contract or compact where they have said, yes, we are self-governing and we will be self-determined and we will use these BIA funds to run our government and provide services to our people rather than depending on the BIA or Department of Interior to do that.
She says fostering tribal self-governance fits with the sense of purpose she sees among BIA employees.
What I've seen as I've worked with all of our different staff at BIA in Alaska is how many of us are really here because we want to see our tribe succeed. And that goes back to our conference theme, which is collaborating to strengthen Alaska's tribal nations. That's our goal as employees of the BIA.
Olzinger-Kate says sessions on grant management and transportation project management are popular, as well as sessions on ways to manage the 16 million acres of Native allotments and town sites owned by Alaska tribes. The BIA Tribal Service Providers Conference wraps up Friday. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jacqueline Estes.